Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Okay. Yes, indeed. How's everybody doing? Welcome to the Lawyer Henderson Podcast Show. I am your gracious host, Lawyer Henderson. And what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about spending our time talking about celebrities and not real issues in the black community, how black folks do that a lot. We're going to be talking about that. If you want to call in, the number to call in is 516-418-5867. You should see that on your Facebook feed. Also, if you're listening live, you can also call in, of course, on our Blog Talk Radio program, 516-418-5867. All right, so we're going to be playing a commercial, and we should return after these messages.
Here. Looking for a professional photographer? Shootfast Productions got you covered. Located in South Florida, we offer top-class photography such as portrait, artistic, family, club events, weddings, birthday parties, and lots more. For bookings, call Andrew at 954-501-5040. Email us at shootfastproductions@gmail.com. Visit our website at shootfastproductions.com or find us on Facebook and Instagram at Shootfast Productions.
All right. Yes. All right, so we're taking your calls, ladies and gentlemen, at 516-418-5867. 516-418-5867. And yes, Lawyer Henderson. As we wind down this lovely evening, this lovely Tuesday evening. So let's get to some news first before we go into our conversation today. The USA Today had asked a question about the incident in Rochester. Will police be charged in Daniel Prude's death? This evidence may be the deciding factor. Okay. As you know, our brother Daniel Prude was put in a chokehold. But anyway, let me read this. It says, Rochester, New York. Only days ago, the homicide of Daniel Prude became public. The news sparked anger. It sparked peaceful protests mixed with scattered vandalism. It sparked finger pointing among public officials. While the protests in public dialogue may lead to reforms, the video of Prude's restraint and the subsequent autopsy likely will be the centerpiece of decisions about whether police acted criminally with his death. And there is much in the video and the autopsy, even with granular medical details, that will surely be questioned and challenged. Okay? Now, the question was, what happened? Well, Daniel Prude suffocated as Rochester police restrained him. And the latest is New York to impanel grand jury to investigate the death of Daniel Prude. Did the police use restraint techniques that were acceptable, or that was accepted within law enforcement circles, or instead were dangerous, even deadly for mentally trouble or drug use, individual held in prone position. As you know, the white media, every time a black person dies, you know, in the hands of police brutality and corruption, it's always, well, you know, what drugs were he on? And, you know, it's always something that they have to put in there. Was he doing marijuana? What was his, was his family doing something? What about his girlfriend? Was she selling drugs? What about the ex-girlfriend or boyfriend? Was they doing things? And that's what the white media likes to do. They like to always try to find some way to try to make sure that it's balanced in a sense, which their balance seems to be more, of course, you know, discriminatory. It seems to be more of, you know, again, racial bias. It seems to be more towards, geared towards, well, this is how we're going to be able to, you know, report the news, but we have to put some balance in it. And as you know, the balance is always, well, what type of drugs was this nigga on? Or what drugs were he selling? Or, you know, what criminal record? What was his background in school? And all of that, when a black person gets shot, we start digging in, the white media start digging into their background. And that's exactly what they do. The number to call in is 516-418-5867. 516-418-5867. So, yeah, they restrained our brother Daniel Prude, and it was like, man, we're getting killed all over this country. All over the country, we continue to see more police brutality against black folks. And, excuse me, the reason why this is all happening is because there's really no legitimate organized detail, because see, we let the black politicians, the black celebrities, and other people speak for us. We don't have an organized, you know, board or what have you to speak for black people. We don't have it because, see, because you have Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, all of them, they have been in the Urban League, NAACP. Nobody is really listening to them. The white media and white people as a whole know that we no longer are paying attention to them. They did a broadcast for the Urban League, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago, and it was placed on YouTube. And it was like, man, it was very disappointing because nobody was really paying attention when they were talking about laws and stuff like that. So it shows you how the NAACP and the Urban League, no one is just not listening to them anymore. I mean, the only one who's listening to them is the people who have still been held over by the old dead black media. The old dead black media, they're long gone. They're no longer having they're no longer in the yard running anything. The old dead white black media, they're not, you know, no one is getting their news anymore. Your Tom Joyners and your Roly Poly Martins, all of them are not really relevant no more. Okay? So black people are looking for other people to speak on their behalf that is going to then rely with what they're now believing. You see, there used to be a time where the old dead black media, they were relevant. They were getting a lot of people, like Tom Joyner back in the 1990s, the beginning of the 80s. He was this person that people enjoyed listening to because it was all about entertaining. You know how black folks love to be entertained, love to cover up and hide their, you know, feelings of oppression and frustration, because all the time there would have been like certain types of celebrities or some comedian, or you would have Tom Joyner and Sybil come on their radio, and that would make their day, if you will. But see, since the old dead black media is gone, and there's nobody really that's in the mainstream media that the white folks have not found in order to galvanize black people, they still have not found any celebrities. They still have not found anybody. Now, it had came out recently that Ice Cube, let's go ahead and get into the topic, Shelley. We're talking about why Black people like to talk about celebrities instead of talking about issues in the Black community. So it came out that Ice Cube is going to meet with the Democrats after he did his little YouTube blog, and the Democratic Party said they want to meet with Ice Cube regarding his contract with Black America. And that's interesting, considering the fact that we have told the Democratic Party, we told bigot Joe Biden, is that we already rejected Joe Biden in a sense. But then you're going to get the number two person that, and the number two person that has warehoused it, Black men in the prison industrial system, and that is Kamala Harris. So that was the news came out that since Ice Cube this discussion on contract with Black America, now the Democratic Party wants to meet with him. Now, we went over that basically on our podcast. We went over Ice Cube and his contract with Black America. We found a lot of things that he was saying within the contract that was kind of fishy, of course. He was talking about the Native Americans, and that aligned with what Joe Biden said about reparations. If Black people should get reparations, so should the Native Americans. And we're like, no, nah. And also, in addition to that, remember we were talking about Joe Biden, and you know, because of his, the crime bill that he sponsored back in 1994, and talking about how a lot of the clergy and the people in the church wanted this bill. He talked about the Black local politicians wanting it, and he now is saying that everybody who wanted this bill came from the Black community. Now, the clergy and the pastors are staying quiet about this, and they're supporting Joe Biden in a sense, okay? The clergy and the pastor and some people in the older Black generation, they are not out here telling their kids, me and others within the Generation X, that experienced this 1994 crime bill and all of the Black people that is in jail because of the law. The Black clergy and your pastors and Black local politicians at that time, they're staying quiet. We're asking the question, is what Joe Biden is saying is true? Did you all, as the Black clergy, pastors, the older Black baby boomer generation, did y'all say to Joe Biden and Bill Clinton and Kamala Harris and all these other people, did y'all want this bill for your children? Because your children was the one who experienced going to jail. Did y'all want this bill? As Joe Biden is saying that y'all are the ones who pushed the 1994 crime bill. All of a sudden, he is now blaming our parents. And the Black baby boomer generation is saying nothing. They're not saying whether or not he is telling the truth or not. In other words, they don't even feel like they have to then respond to Joe Biden's claim, okay? So that's today's topic, spending our time talking about celebrities and not real issues in the Black community. And this is a great fundamental issue and concept to start out with, okay? Because a lot of Black people, they love to talk about Beyonce and your rap music and who got this and who got that. We like to talk about sports and all of that, hide our frustration and our pain about what the white males in this country has done to us. It hides our pain when white daddy and white mommy come to us with another program that, of course, as Amos Wilson taught us, that we look back 20 years and it still don't work for us. Why we have not been able to then push the agenda, the black agenda in the black community. And so as Omar Johnson pointed out, now that you have the baby boomer leadership out the way, your Jesse Jacksons, your Al Sharptons, your Urban League, the NAACP, and nobody's listening to them no more, because they no longer is the influencers of the yard. So we kicked them out. Okay, we kicked them out because we knew that these old Negroes, not all, but most of them, will sell you out for a bucket of chitlins and a piece of bubblegum. So we got those niggas up out of the yard. They no longer carry the weight for what is needed to be said among the black media. Okay? So Ice Cube is now going to then meet with the Democratic Party. And in meeting with the Democratic Party, it's his contract with black Americans. Okay, now like I told you just a minute ago, he has this, if black people is ought to get reparations, he has Native Americans. He also said, well, since Jewish people and black folks, no. Okay, see, it was these Jewish scholars who helped Ice Cube to write his contract with black Americans. And see, that's our problem. We knew that they were going to bring these rappers out and all these other celebrities, because after the civil rights people have been given their walking papers by us in the new voices of the black media, now it's about, let's look at the rappers and see what they can do. Let's bring your T.I.s, your Puff Daddies, let's bring out all of them, okay? Your T.I.s, your Puff Daddies, your Ice Cube, your Killer Mike. These people, although they might mean well, but they just don't have the scholar background. They don't have the historical research. And a lot of them, a lot of black people who got money from white supremacy, they know that these black folks, although they, like I said, might mean well, they just are not really educated into speaking for black people issues. In fact, some of them are. It's just that they are too afraid to speak up of what the black community really needs, and that is an economic remake. You see a lot of gentrification in the black community. As I was coming on, I was listening to Dr. Umar's interview on the Breakfast Club with DJ Envy and Charlamagne Tha God, where he points out that there are five major problems that affect black America today, and they are that, and it is mass incarceration, miseducation, gentrification, access to wealth, and police genocide. Those five things are very important for us to talk about as well. Mass incarceration, we dealt with that, okay? Like I said, we have a Democratic challenger right now who basically was the whole, you know, he got this concept within his 1994 crime bill in order to then place mass incarceration upon black people. And if we talk about mass incarceration, that's the reason why black people, we don't need to be supporting the Democrats nor Republicans in this issue. We need to just stay away from politics. And then if we decide to vote, we come as a majority. But here's the issue here with this particular situation about mass incarceration. If Joe Biden and Kamala Harris was the one who basically was advocates of putting black people in jail, Bill Clinton signed the 1994 crime bill after Joe Biden argued that such bill needed to be presented to him. And that's where you've got your three strikes and you're outlaw. A lot of black men are in jail for petty crimes and has been given harsher sentences by these racist white judges. I talked to you then about how a lot of judges, when they don't follow the law, that the Senate is supposed to, the Judiciary Committee is supposed to remove your federal and your circuit judges out of office, and they have been patting each other on the back. You don't have the feds, the FBI, the Marshal's Office. That's the reason why a lot of our resentment towards white men in the black community, especially black men, happens, because we see that the white male population and what they have done to black men in this population is based upon a system, okay? And therefore, people get upset when you talk about specifically about what goes on, and, you know, even at your jobs, discrimination of what the white male population, and that's what Dr. Johnson was alluding to on the Black Breakfast Club. And his words, of course, was white males attack on black males and the ideal that the white male population and how they try to destroy black men and not allowing them to compete in the financial and the economic sector of this nation. Okay? In fact, I even had to sue a few white men because of their discrimination in corporate America. And there were some black people who were saying, no, don't you dare sue. So there were some black people, of course, who were upset about my lawsuit against certain white men who I had to because of discrimination and how they were using certain laws against us, of course. And there was some black people, of course, like I said, who got upset. How dare you sue white daddy and white mommy? Suing white daddy, you're going to get us all in trouble. How dare you sue white daddy? Okay? And you have some black people who are upset. And so what that taught me is that the black people are hanging on because of just jobs. Black people are afraid to go down to then rally and protest because they're afraid that their white bosses might see them on CNN saying black power, okay? You know, calling them up. Hey, no. I can't lose my job, and I can't be talking about racial discrimination. My white bosses might see me, you know, on CNN talking about black power, you see. And so that goes into question then as to the control of us having jobs from white people that hinders us to speak up within these five issues that we're dealing with. As Umar Johnson points out, mass incarceration, miseducation, gentrification, access to wealth, and police genocide. Our brother Millie Fuller talks about the nine areas of activity. And so, okay, and so we also did a commentary on the nine areas of activity, okay, which, of course, I will go in a little bit later if I had some time, but I did do a commentary on Nellie Fuller's nine areas of activity as well, okay. But spending our time talking about celebrities, like we have a lot of people on YouTube, and they call themselves giving out the tea, the gossip and stuff, and you know, we do a little bit of talking about celebrities, but we have to also look at the fact that we waste a lot of our time in the black community speaking on about other people's relationship and everybody else's garbage and stuff like that. We should allow the white media to talk about that. You know, give your own opinion or what have you, but you have to get back in talking about the issues. And that's what we do on our show. On the Lawyer Henderson podcast, we don't spend a lot of time talking about these celebrities because that is not the point, okay? We also talk about sports because it gives us a way from dealing with pain and issues within the black community. we go out clubbing because that's another form of getting us what? Away from dealing with our issues. Okay? Talk about LeBron James and talk about sports and your favorite football or basketball players. In fact, because of the COVID-19 virus, this is one of the first times that black people could not run to the church, which is religion, is another one, could not run to talk about sports. They actually, for the first time, because of COVID-19, had to deal with issues in their own community regarding their finances and economics. Of course, like I said, when we went on Facebook and we talked there about it being, you know, asking questions, that you know of a black business, for instance, that does this. You know of a black business that does that, okay? For the first time, you're dealing with the financial and the economic issues within your own, you know, with yourself and with your community, okay? Which then forced you, because of losing your jobs, having to do so. They talked about within the white media that there was a lot of increase up on people getting or applying for IRS's employers' identification numbers, or in other words, abbreviation of EIN numbers, which is very important because now it was time to talk about starting your own business. And for the very first time, like I said, when COVID hit, and when we were not out there eating in the Chinese restaurants, and like black people love Chinese food, and so that had to stop because now the white media was telling us that the Chinese had created the COVID-19 virus. And so now the unemployment among Asia and China people and Chinese people at that time in America was growing, was coming. Their unemployment was rising at the time that people just stopped eating in their restaurants, okay? And so they were looking to the white government here, in which they got their small business loans, they got help from the government, okay? Something that black people have been asking for a very long time and that the United States have ignored us as far as wanting access to capital, which is one of the five major problems that black folks face as an effect of black America that Umar Johnson speaks of. Okay. He also points out Umar Johnson and other things that black folks, black men, had spent $5 billion on liquor and other types of drinks, cars and all of this. Black men spending millions of dollars on buying rims and gold Daytons and clothes. He talks about how we spend that $5 billion on liquor at the clubs and restaurants and bars. Talks about how black men have been engaging in all these purchases just to look fresh and fly, and spending $5 billion as a collective, of course, on food, fast food. He talks about black women spending a lot of money on hair weave and beauty products, $9 billion collectively on these hair and weave products that they have given to Asians or Koreans, and a sense of dealing with the fact that these people do not hire that many black folks within their stores. Okay? So we've seen how we got rid of the Chinese man temporarily, where he was selling us this food. We don't know if the COVID-19 or the virus was inside these stores, but it then got us to think about what we were really eating when we go to these Chinese restaurants. And so we had a vast majority of Chinese restaurants even closed down because their 99% of their business are coming from black folks. Black people were eating Chinese food so much that these people were living this luxury lifestyle that black folks were sending Chinese and Korean kids to college or to help finance businesses because that they were eating and investing more into the Chinese restaurants and businesses, you see. The $5 billion that black men spend or black people spend in drinking liquor and washing down this poison in order to basically hide some of their frustrations that they're going through, the $5 billion, which some of that money could have been put back into the black community so that we can deal with real issues. $9 billion that our women spend on hair weave and beauty products, which is because of saying that I don't look beautiful if I do not have that perm in my hair. Okay, a lot of women, I don't look good if I don't have the weave in my hair. Okay, it doesn't matter what kind of weave you sell me, they were, you know, make sure that I at least, you know, look, you know, without people looking at me as a black person. Okay, let me buy this colorful weave, even though that makes you look like a clown. Let's buy weave products and hair products, and eventually people will say that I look cute. And then you had other women telling other women, girl, don't look cute on you. Girl, you should sport that blue hair with those blue Nikes. Girl, you look good. So now we had other people saying, if you just buy material wealth, people then will just, you know, start to, you know, it will make you feel good as a black person. And we know that black folks, you know, spend a lot of money on Nike shoes or Reeboks or whatever the case may be to get people to think that they are rich and got money in the bank. And as you know, white people, they wear clothing like they're poor, like they're broke, okay, even though they might have millions of dollars, you know, in the bank. They will basically always will dress if they're poor. They don't go out here and spend money on a lot of things. So that's very important. Okay, but when we talk there about gentrification, we're talking about what? Black people moving out of the neighborhoods of their own communities, what? Trying to move into other locations. We did a great deal of commentary on that. Okay, we did a great commentary on that. That was very important. Okay, and the reason why we did such a commentary is because if you look at gentrification and why we've been put out of the why we've been gentrified out of the community, it's because you got a lot of foreign people who wants to make investment in the black ghetto. Okay, because when black people see that the ghetto is something that they don't see no value into it, they start to then move to other nicer neighborhoods where people get them to think that, okay, yeah, stay over here so that you can help me pay for my my new house. If you can help me, Mike Allen, you shut up. if you can help me pay for my new house, help me pay. Mike Allen, call in, 516-418-5867 if you disagree. Mike Allen, call in, 516-418-5867. All right, so when they move out of the neighborhood, move out of the black neighborhood and into somebody else's community, that helps them to then, you know, ameliorate and that particular community become, you know, beautiful. The property value goes up. Now, when black people move in, they say that every time black folks move into these neighborhoods, the property value go down. That's the reason why, like I told you, I did that commentary about a lot of us moving into certain white people's neighborhoods and they leave out because they believe that the property value goes down. Now, and so now we're trying to find areas because since we don't want to live in the black community no more, okay, here come the foreigners, here come your Mexicans, Latinos, other people moving into those neighborhoods, and the black community has been overrun now with other people who is coming, and then they're able to get business loans and mortgage loans. They're able to help, you know, there's banks that is willing to give them money as they come over, along with their own bank within their countries, of course, that has helped them to provide these loans. And so they work with the city government and your black politicians who sell you out. They work very much candidly with them so that they can gentrify these communities. Okay? So gentrification happens very often within our community. They're trying to make sure that every society in America where black folks is, you change it into a multicultural neighborhood, and now these black folks can't talk about our black community. And that has been what has been happening to us since the 1960s and 70s, okay? And, of course, we don't have to go talking about police genocide. We know from the shootings of Ahmaud Arbery, or the shooting of Breonna Taylor, the shooting, the killing of our brother I just told you about, I think it's Daniel Prude, Jacob Blake. Police genocide is a part now of the social relationships in America. White people, the white supremacists, I should say, get a hard-on when black people are being murdered and killed in the streets. Okay? That is a part of their very psyche. To have a society that is ill, that is filled with all kinds of sexual confusion, that is filled with all types of violence, to make sure that all types of diseases and affective situations going on, this American society could not be what it is today, and white people could not have been advanced into financial relationships and economics if the black community did not suffer a great deal. If the Hispanic or Latino community was not suffering a great deal, they make sure that these societies within our community stay with problems. All kinds of high unemployment and all kinds of broken families, men wanting to be women, women wanting to be men. They make sure that we stay in an unbalanced and a confused society because it helps the white supremacists to then operate in a sense. And so that when you get black folks on other things, talking about other issues, then now the white supremacist can basically, you know, enforce his rules and laws unjustifiably. The white supremacist judge who is supposed to been removed from, echoes out here, I'm sorry. The white supremacist judge that is immediately supposed to be removed from the bench because he showed a constantly and consistent way of discriminating against black people because the basis of color. He was supposed to been removed by the judicial committee, but because they pat each other on the back, the white supremacist judges and your white DAs and all these people, they're able to keep their positions, okay? Because there is a pat on your back system with the enforcement on the white supremacy, i.e., your marshal's office, your FBI agents. You've got all kinds of enforcement rule of enforcement people and bodies that make sure that the judges, as long as they're doing what they want them to do, they will never be able to be removed office. But then when you look at it, you know, I had a black female, she was upset with me because she said that black men need to be doing better, is what she said. And I said, well, what you mean doing better in a sense under white supremacy? When white men don't follow their own rules and laws, then why are you telling us as black men that we what should follow the same rules? And that's what they're saying. They're saying that you Negroes, y'all are not obeying anything. Okay, well, you're not following the Constitution. You're not following the rules on the books into which you're supposed to be going by. Okay, you're not following legislation. You're not enforcing or interpreting the law the way it should supposed to be or supposed to be. Okay, and they get mad when you pretty much clarify your problem with white supremacy. They get upset because they want us to see, you know, that this is not happening. Oh, it's not happening? Okay, black folks are not getting shot and killed by in the streets by the police. This is only just one isolated incident, you know? They say that type of crap. And then what is happening and what we see? On and on, black person, black man after black man, after black woman, after black women getting what? Shot and killed in the streets by the police, okay? But they want us to believe it's just what? Isolated incident, okay? So I went over mass incarceration. We talked about the five effects of black America, mass incarceration, miseducation. I'm going to deal with last, of course. We deal with gentrification, access to wealth, I'll deal with next, and police genocide. Let's talk about the access to wealth. I just mentioned, of course, how this country, when they have foreigners come over here, they not only get bank loans from their own native country, but they also get bank loans when they come to the United States, especially when they're coming to find themselves in a black community. When they find themselves in a black community, of course, the white banks are going to give them loans because this is a way to, you know, to make sure that black folks stay away from the access to capital. Okay? You have your black celebrities who sits on $5 billion or more. You know, you have this one guy, Robert Smith, I think that's his name. He said, well, I'm going to pay black folks college tuition. I'm going to give you college tuition, and you can go to these historically black colleges for free, or you can go to college for free, or whatever the case may be. And yet, he, and like other black millionaires and billionaires, hate to do what? Provide us with access to a bank loan. Okay? We often taught you that what? That giving black folks scholarships to go to school is not helping us. That helping the white colleges and the black universities. And I have no problem with you giving black universities, historically black colleges, if they are historic, I have no problem with them getting money because they need to stay afloat. What I do have a problem with is that after you leave college, then what is next? You know, you go and try to beg some white person to give you a job? Okay? Or like any other person would want to do, like Mark Zuckerberg, you know? Like, you know, or do you want to then what? Start your own business. The black billionaires and millionaires are very careful into providing loans that goes directly to black people instead of giving it to these white colleges and universities, making white colleges and universities rich. That is not wealth for us. The paying off our college tuition and our is okay. But not all black people need to go to college. There are some of us who probably can go learn a trade. Some of us learn entrepreneurship by seeing somebody else do it, or they may have basically took over a business and taken over a family business, and then at that point, then they get into business as well. So not everybody needs a degree, okay? But the society in the 80s and 90s talks about, and the white media talks about, especially your conservative media, always talking about the broken families in the black communities. That's because we have been systematically engineered for not only black millionaires and billionaires not to give us no money to finance businesses, but they have been basically making sure that the black man and black woman do not get access to capital. That is what? Deliberate. Okay? The white government has done that on and on. The white media likes to then talk that crap about that we have all these broken families, and then we don't have jobs and high employment, and then they do what? They make sure that we don't get the money that is necessary to do something for our economic problems and issues. And that's how America has been floating. It's been floating by then telling people they can come from other nations, and all they have to do is go to a black neighborhood, because them Negroes are disorganized. You can easily set up a business right then and there. Okay? So we talked about what? We're talking about the lack of wealth and the lack of access to money because it has been systematically engineered for that to happen. Okay? All right. So we dealt with wealth, mass incarceration, but I want to talk to you a little bit about Michelle Alexander's new book, which is called The New Jim Crow. Well, it's been out fundamentally, you know, for a number of years now. And I think in her book, she deals with this mass incarceration. I think she deals with it a great deal, a great read. But I'm very much worried about in her book talking about civil rights. Every time black folks mention civil rights, you know, that get me a chest burn, if you will. Because, of course, Dr. Claude Anderson points out that we don't know who civil is, okay? So let's stop talking about civil, okay? We need to elevate our rights to what it really boils down to, and that is human rights. We don't know who civil is, okay? And so we got a lot of Negroes out here talking about civil rights. Who is civil? Where do civil stay? Let me go meet civil, okay? Do y'all know who civil is? I don't know who civil is, okay? So I cannot advocate for civil, but the white media makes sure that they use these words, these broad and ambiguous words and terms. That's the reason why we no longer are paying attention in the black community. A lot of us who are on code, we don't pay attention to the white media and their bootlicking, bought and paid for it, flunkies and Negroes, because they keep on talking about the same kind of, you know, broad language and ambiguous terms. For instance, minorities. Black people are not minorities. We happen to be the one who created, well, who built this nation. So we are excluded as being a minority into a country where we built. We've built this country. So we're not minorities. So when the white media speaks to minority, they're speaking on a sense of, hey, I am a majority. I am superior, okay, over you Negroes. That's the reason why Fox News, they love to talk about minorities and black folks and stuff like that. And then you get these black conservatives who come on with a hard on, yeah, white daddy from the right. You're telling the truth, white daddy. You're telling the truth. Oh, yeah, I love the way you're talking, white daddy. So the white media on the right basically like to do these situations. They like to talk about the broken families and the broken homes that they claim black people have. We talked, of course, about when this started to happen back in the 1960s, where we had 87% of black people in marriages. Okay? We often forget that at one point that we had a high increase of black marriages, and that the average family, black family, had a male and female into it. Okay, but then what happened is we came with all of these issues that brought us from the 60s and the 70s and 80s, where we began to see black marriages declining. Okay, so So we went from 87% from 1960 downward to the year 2020, where we now only got about 42% of Black marriages in the country. The rest is pretty much within single-headed households, friends who are just shacking up each other, non-married couples. You got a lot of roommates and stuff like that. So the typical Black family and the typical white family are not really there as well, okay? And white folks can argue that point because they have roughly 166 million of them compared to our, what, 41 million. You understand? So they can pretty much say that lie about the 42%, or they can talk about the 42% marriages that we did have versus now the fact that we went from 87% in almost 30 decades, how it declined, okay? And that's because of the marriage laws and stuff like that, and that's because, you know, some of the government programs that if you kept a man, if you didn't marry him, well, we're going to give you some welfare programs, you know, and that's the issue here, okay? Giving women all these, you know, programs so men were not able to stay in the home. That's the reason why we, a lot of times, are now upset here in the New Voices of Black Media with our Black politicians. You know, because they out here, oh, I'm going to provide you with welfare programs. It's only going to be about women and children, you know, and we're going to get you some food stamps and stuff like that. You know, they always go out there these beggary programs. And that's the reason why the Black politician has to be made, you know, have to be restructured in a sense. You don't have white politicians. White politicians go in big as well. But they have lobbyists that goes and talk about passing laws so they can get access to capital. So any red taping that they have within their corporations, they can lobby so that those corporations can continue to get away with a lot of things within the business. And so that these Negroes will never catch up because we continue to give white men all of the power and the money and the finances by you putting what? Red taping on Black men and Black people in general. Okay? And so the ideal here is that we have to get access to wealth in order to maintain the Black community. Okay? Not talk about sports and not talking about LeBron James all the time and Beyonce and your new hip-hop or your rap album, all that stuff that blinds us and keep us confused and keep us scared to talk about our issues. And that's exactly what goes on in the Black community. Girl, did you hear about this new album that Brandy talked about? You know, and I support the Brandy and Monica challenge. I thought it was very beautiful to have our sisters to challenge each other, you know, in a female sense. But, you know, of course, you got to at some point start dealing with the issues, though, okay? Instead of drowning your mouth with a lot of liquor and all this stuff that basically says, hey, my issues is, well, you know, I'm going to go out here and spend a lot of money on some poison because hopefully that helps me to get away from my problems and let me go out and do this and do that so that, you know, I can deal with my problems like that way. But then after your drunkenness leaves, you have to what? Deal with the issues all over again. Okay, so you're not going to get escape for it. But the $5 billion that we spent on liquor and our women spending on hair weave, that combined is $14 billion that has been put in somebody else's community where they're sending their kids to college. Okay, I told you that we had this blackout where we were wanting to not just give the Black community just 5 cents out of every consumer dollar. We were giving 5 cents out of every consumer dollar, and then after George Floyd's death, we were now giving the Black community 10 cents a dollar. I would argue that if we gave the Black community 15 cents, Well, at least going up a notch, okay, if we can get you to 15 cents, spend 15 cents by supporting a black business. That's all we were challenging you on. Spend 15 cents out of every consumer dollar, okay? And so, therefore, the black community can grow, okay? Black businesses can what? Grow and develop. They can start hiring. If you spend in the black community, we're only asking you for 15 cents because we already know that you want to give the white folks 85 cents, okay? So we only ask you for 15 cents out of every consumer dollar that you put in the black community so that the black community can grow. And if you do that over several years, you will start to see black community expanding, the black businesses expanding and growing. I taught you, of course, that remember we had a lot of black businesses come on to my program, and they were talking about, of course, that they want to keep the black dollar inside the community because it leaves every 26 minutes. That a black person get paid. As soon as a black person get paid, he or she, they go up there, they go out, and they go and spend their money in the outside the community, okay? And then we talk about white man this, white man that, oh, man, they don't want to do all this. Well, we basically have to also say that some of this is our fault, too, when we start giving other people our dollars. Okay, that's the reason why I'm only asking you for 15 cents, okay? You know, because there's a lot of people out there, oh, I don't know about this lawyer. I don't know. You know, I don't want, I need to give white daddy 85% or 90 cents. I just need to give white daddy more money, okay? Because white daddy has been good to me. I just need to give white daddy more money now. But we asked you and encouraged you to spend 15 cents now, okay? 15 cents is the challenge, okay? This is a real important issue. Those false things that we've talked about, mass incarceration, miseducation, gentrification, access to wealth, and police genocide, these are the five things, man, that confronts the black community, not how much LeBron James is getting paid in the NBA, not talking about the NFL and what the Falcons are doing or what, you know, the Paytons are doing, or whatever you call them. Your whole ability to become successful is to doing business with each other in the black community. Okay? I told you that black enterprises by 2035, the black people will be pushed back into slavery if they didn't deal with their economic issues. Okay? That's a real issue. Okay? And then when George Floyd's death happened, that woke up some of us, but a lot of y'all are like, okay, now let's go on back to sleep on a plantation again now. Okay, let's go ahead and let's go on back now. Let's go on back to sleep. A lot of y'all wanted to go back to sleep on the plantation. Okay, you had a lot of black Negroes out here who basically do not want to talk about racism and said that it does not exist because they're living in some community and they got temporary things over there. And it's basically, it's blinding them, okay, about racism. And they said, well, I don't experience racism. I don't experience this. I don't experience that, okay? The reason why you don't experience it, because you've got other black people who is what? Challenging white supremacy. So what we do, we have to then go out there and fight white supremacy so that you can get the mentality of saying that it does not exist, okay? The idea here is that we have a lot of black folks who are off code, but we have enough black folks who are on code, black people who are talking about celebrities and talking about smoking and rolling up a blunt and talking about Beyonce and her new hairdo and all this, they are not basically our you know, think tanks here. They're not the black folks that we can count on, but the white supremacist society like to put the money into their hands because they know that these are the people who are not going to spend anything in the black community and help black communities. These are the black folks who hate themselves and hate black folks in general. You then have to look at the fact that, you know, they had Byron Allen as well on the Breakfast Club, and he was talking about the 1866 civil rights legislation from 1981. And in that piece, he described that black folks should be a part of the economic inclusion, a great way to examine how the black community is treated, okay? But then he's going behind closed door with these white folks and married to a white woman and then going to tell us that he is for the black community, where when you look at his board and the people that he is hiring, he don't have a lot of black folks there, okay? So we have to stop falling for the trick bag every time we get some. But the first time that I look at you and you're coming to me and talking about business, I got to see what your family structure is. Are you married to a black man? Are you married to a black woman? That's the first two things that I get. When people say, well, why do that matter? Okay, well, why it did matter between the years of 1619 and 1819 when we were enslaved, it mattered then. So now that the white supremacist says, oh, you're allowed to date outside your race, oh, now it's okay now. But it didn't matter back in those times, okay? And so therefore now is a confusion situation where, well, if you don't want to marry black, okay, well, you know, marry each other. Nah. The sexual confusion comes in now. So here's what we're saying here. The black community is spending more money with other people instead of the money that they really have for their own children. We're spending only 5 cents in the black community. That means that we are basically only having less than $50 billion that we're holding over in our community. That's not a lot of money. There's some idiots out there who told Dr. Claude Anderson when he said that, they was like, that's a lot of money, $5 billion. That's not a lot of money. $5 billion in your community where you have a people who are 41 million, $5 billion is not a lot of money. Black folks, come on. You have the $1.1 trillion into your community then, that is also been taken from you by the Koreans, by the Chinese. Now, we pretty much did a good job after COVID. We got the Chinese people up out of our communities for the most part. And they went lying to white daddy and white mommy and saying that we are your buffer class. And that's when they gave the Chinese and the Asians and all these grants and loans and stuff like of that nature. And then they were like, slowly but surely, these Negroes are going to come back spinning. You know, COVID-19, yeah, it kind of messed y'all up. But wait, these Negroes are going to go back and eat some Chinese food. Just hold on for a year or so. You'll be back getting all your Chinese, you know, products eaten up by these Negroes because these Negroes are disorganized. We successfully closed down these Chinese restaurants. And the reason why we did so is because, not only because of COVID, is because we don't know what these Chinese and Asian people are putting in their food. That's nothing racism and discriminatory about that. I had a lot of people who criticized me for saying that. I had this white girl criticize me. Oh, you're racist. Shut up and stop talking about Chinese. And I'm like, look, get off of my podcast, my Facebook feed. Shut up. The idea is that the Asian and Chinese got products that we do not know, and the government here in America, the state government, They don't care what type of food that they bring into the black community. They don't care. You know, I've witnessed where Chinese people have, when they were cooking their food, and dropped food on the floor and put it back onto somebody's plate. I've witnessed that. And I immediately, like, oh, hell no, I left. So the carrying and the handling of food that we see that come from the COVID-19, okay, the COVID-19 is where, which is also a part of food poisoning, is where this whole thing is coming about as far as where, you know, these Chinese people that come and open up businesses that are successful in the black community have been feeding us for a long time this food that we never knew that came from the wildlife, okay? If it is coming from the wildlife in China and other parts, and then they're able to bring wholesale from their country and to the neighborhoods of black folks, because black folks do not really look at where the food products are coming from, okay? It's not really necessarily their food products, but the handling of their food is very, very important. A lot of people have died from the COVID-19 virus, and now they're allowing Chinese restaurants to open back up in our neighborhoods, and they're giving them business loans. And we are still dealing with the virus right now. Like, wait a minute, hold on now. How all of a sudden now that everything is all gravy, just after the fact that these Asian and Chinese people were coming to you talking about high unemployment because these Negroes stopped eating in their restaurants. So they had to do a lot of things about that. Well, we're going to give you the small business loans where you have to pay back, or we're going to give you certain types of things. And like I said earlier, sooner or later, the Negroes are going to be crawling back, eating your Chinese food. They're going to be coming back, and they're going to be making sure that, you know, they eat because, you know, black folks like that Chinese food now. They love to eat those chicken wings that you know, and they love to eat that fried rice, and they like all of those Chinese food. Now, here's the thing about this. Because we have financed everybody else and put their kids to school, it is very important for people, for social media, Facebook feeds, Facebook, who are stepping around now wanting policies to stop us to do business with each other. You have Facebook, of course, that will destroy your line, your feed, because of a social movement. How we want to then build a social movement to start to get black folks to start eating in their own restaurants within their own community, starting to put their black dollar back into the black community. And a lot of other people got upset with that. You see, they're trying to convince us that it is racist for us to spend and do business with each other. That's not racist. That's not discriminatory. That is survival, okay? It does not make sense for black folks to continue to give money to every other people when they're sitting on billions of dollars that they will never be able to spend in a lifetime, and then to have your kids going to bed hungry. That is dumb, and it's foolish. You're only putting $4 billion into your community. Well, how can we then get our kids to pay for their tuition in colleges and universities, and yet we're giving our money and financing other kids' college tuition? We as black folks do not owe any other race any damn thing. You understand? The only thing, as Dr. John Henry Clark pointed out, the only thing that we owe other races is an ass whooping. The idea of the five areas that affect black people are those five things. And until we deal with that and start to stop talking about these black celebrities that they like to trot out in front of us as soon as we talk about racism, these celebrities are not allowed to then focus on a black community, as soon as you talk to them about black empowerment, just like these Negroes in the hood, as soon as you talk to them, these hood rats, as soon as you talk to them about black empowerment, the conversation changes. The conversation changed because they do not have permission to do anything for the black community. The white daddy and white mommy have to give them permission to do things. Oprah sitting on $2.5 billion. Okay? Now that the black community did not want her to, you know, did not want anything to do with her, she go out and purchased 26 billboards for Breonna Taylor. Did white daddy and white mommy give her permission to do so? After she already had other black folks within her own community who's been shot and killed by the police, having to get what? Permission to go out there and do something for the black community. Michael Jordan having to what? Get permission. Robert Smith sitting on $5 billion having to do what? Get permission even to pay off black folks' tuition. Because, of course, you're not giving money to black folks. You're giving the money to the colleges. You're giving the money to the universities. Okay? So scholarships are not a wealth-based situation. That's the reason why, really, black folks don't need permission to give out scholarships, because they know that it's not going to go to the black colleges. I mean, they're not going to go to the individual, but to the black colleges and the white colleges that the students are going to attend. So having to get permission, that's the reason why we are uncode. That's the reason why a lot of us are not going out here and just breaking our necks to vote for Joe Biden over Donald Trump, you see. And the idea now is that black folks, there are some black people who are upset with us because we're staying home in this election. And they saw that the same thing happened to Hillary Clinton in the year 2016, where black men stayed home and Donald Trump won, gave you the idea that we pretty much needed a black agenda to go to these polls, or we're not going to go at all. People said, well, you have a choice to vote. It's going to be the Democrats or the Republicans. And no, we said, no, there is a third option. It's not the independents. It's that we what? Staying home. You understand? Because the choices are not there, okay? The black celebrity having to get permission to do something for their people, okay? Jay-Z having to have permission to help finance anything that black folks do, okay? Even though that I do give them props for doing certain things, bailing people out. I think it was during some type of, at the time that people were going to jail when they were protesting, we understood that Jay-Z bailed some of those people out of jail, which is a good thing. But you have to understand that the access to wealth and us putting money into other people's neighborhoods is what's causing black people to go to be in this enslavement, welfare society that we're trying to get out of. And of course, finally, before I forget, let's talk about miseducation. We know that this educational system is not going to educate our kids appropriately. You know, we got parents dragging their kids to school just to be miseducated by the system, you know. And look at the people who are writing the textbooks. The people who are writing the textbooks are writing them because they have to rationalize their position in this society, in this world, whereas their position is to be the oppressive bodies in the world of white supremacy. The enforcement body has to then rationalize its position as to then ruling over other people, dominating of other people. And so they have to find the white supremacists who will write such a narrative. That's the reason why your kids are saying, I want to drop out of school, mommy and daddy, is because what? They do not see themselves in the textbooks, okay? All you get is a lecture on Dr. King, and that's it. And then on top of that, they don't have anybody else they can look at this. And they say, wait a minute, where is our contribution in society? I don't want nothing to do with this because it's not what? Talking about me, okay? How many of black kids, of course, would want to go to school if they've seen that their images are in these textbooks? They will probably want to go to school more. Over if the black man and black woman was in a book or textbooks where they're contributing into society, with us having to then only read about George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and all these other types of people whose history, of course, by the way, are only several thousand years old. That's the reason why we have in these colleges, universities, they bring all kinds of political things as to do not, you know, talk about this. Or if you're going to talk about slavery and we're going to talk about, you know, taking over America, of how they claim to salute the Indians, let's put it in a political perspective. How did it help the Native Americans? And then ask the question as to how slavery helped black folks. Okay, they want to put a position that helped the Europeans to basically set up their position and to then influence their position as, well, this is the reason why we did that, okay? And that's the way that they're bringing the education to our kids. It is not a issue in the sense of them not wanting to learn, but having to deal with the same kind of education of the white middle-class child that seems to have a burden on their psyche. And that's the reason why they're confused and they are destroyed, because they're not seeing themselves in the textbooks. And so it is a system to destroy the mental state of kids when you're just putting, you know, you're just bouncing their minds with miseducation and information that they're not going to be able to use in tools of society. You got to understand that kids often learn a great deal when they know history and culture. So the ideal then of making sure that our kids get that comes from the family unit itself, or supposed to come from the family unit itself. But hell, when we look at black families, they're not even teaching them anything. They're dragging the kids on to white daddy and white mommy. And then they've already admitted how they cannot even educate black children, how black kids are uncontrollable, how they do not listen, how they our sons get up out of their seats every 5 seconds, and blah, 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 and all of this stuff. They've already admitted that they do not know how to educate black children. And yet you got black parents out here, oh, my kids won't sit in the seat, blah, blah, blah. Take them anyhow. It's stupid and it is foolish, okay? It is dumb, okay? So the ideal is that we've got to then have books that is talking about black folks, that is speaking on black issues. That is very much why our kids cannot stay in the seats. Black children are 5 times more likely to get suspended from school, most likely to then be, you know, called the police on by the white teacher who say that they cannot learn quick just because they get they cannot comprehend. Okay? Very different than the white child. Okay? I was in college before, and I've seen white kids cheat on tests. You understand? So it's not the fact that, you know, that white children are just doing better than us. Even some of them have cheated and have been cheating and still is cheating on tests. Okay? Why was they not informed of doing their homework and of doing their things, okay? So it is not the fact and the idea that they're smarter than black kids. It's that when you have a white middle-class education and you don't know your history and your culture, then you have to then allow yourself to learn somebody else's culture, then that is pretty much is stopping you and stopping your kids because they have to then understand the language. And they cannot do something and do that if they do not understand who they are. Okay. So the ideal here, the last 7 minutes, 9 minutes and a half, the celebrities that is now blinding us, okay, that's the reason why we like to go to these concerts. It's about the rich celebrities having all this stuff. See, you can do this and you can do that. I didn't go to school for that. So you got people telling us certain types of different things. You got your rappers are saying, you know, I was out here balling, I did this, I sold drugs right there. This was my quick come up. But then you have your teacher saying, well, stay in school, blah, blah, blah. So we're getting inundated with information, whether it be right, wrong information by everybody, okay? The pastor says you got to wait for this to happen, wait for your pie in the sky, and we're like, no, I'll forget that. Okay, so everybody what? Feeding us different type of information, different type of concepts as to what we need to do in the black community. But yet people are looking at the celebrities. And why is the celebrities all of a sudden, why do Puff P. Diddy and Ice Cube and T.I. and all of these rappers, Killer Mike, want to now speak on the issues, okay? Did their white paymasters come out and tell you, hey, they're not listening to the Urban League no more. They're listening to y'all. They're not listening to the NAACP anymore. They're listening to y'all. They're not listening to Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton in the Black Miss Leadership class. They're listening to y'all. So y'all better get y'all tail out there if you want this record deal. And y'all better go out there and tell these black folks that they got to get back in line. They got to obey. They got to, in order for them to do this, they got to work hard. They got to stay in school. They got to blah, 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 blah. Okay? So the black rapper, the black celebrity has taken over as trying to be the spokesman for the black community. And that is very, very dangerous because the black celebrity is basically also manipulated. Anytime you get your money from white daddy and white mommy, you have to watch out for what you say because white daddy and white mommy is going to always pay attention for your words. You want to talk about a revolution and about going against white folks, you can't do that with white people's money. The idea here is that the rappers are, and the celebrities are not going to coach you well, okay? And they know that. But the black community, they think, since a lot of us like to talk about sports, like to talk about hip-hop or rap stars or what have you, women looking at Real Housewives of Atlanta, so they got the reality stars out there at these protests and stuff of that nature. They told Oprah to get her fat lard ass out there. They got Mamie Simone Sanders out there. So they got all of these celebrities trying to take over the grassroots conversation about what we need. And trust me, we're not listening to none of them. You dig? Same thing that happened in the 1960s when you had Dr. King telling the white power structure and Lyndon B. Johnson and Kennedy, we don't have power over these black folks. These are black folks who are coming with their own agenda, who are coming with guns and all these types of things. They're coming to the White House and they're mad. And so that's how the Big Six was able to then form, because now they were going to try to lead us away and was strategic. and leading them us away from the White House because they had black people in the misleadership class who were able to then maneuver that full hatred, resentment from the white masses who was, of course, discriminating against us in the 1960s, of course. The white supremacists who have taken over the whole society, if you will. And I often told you, okay, not all white people are racist. I don't really, you know, say that at all, even though a lot of people put that in my mouth. But we have to understand here is that we have to look at what the five effects of the black community, we have to dig deep in that. And we cannot allow celebrities, we cannot be confused by them, we cannot allow them to take over the agenda. Because when we do so, we are then telling the white power structures that be that these are our leaders. And we do not have leaders anymore, but a code. You see, the white supremacists, they like to always put leadership on black folks. Okay, they want to always give you a leader because having a leader, you can then control him or her. You see, you can get this leader to do some things and that will compromise you. That's the reason why it's very dangerous to have humans as your leader. Okay, white people don't have leaders. Okay, and Byron Allen was right. There's no white people looking for anybody to speak for them. Why is black people having people to speak for us? We don't have a leadership. We have a code, and the code is what we follow. If you have not been to our YouTube page, go there. Also, log in to the YouTube channel to subscribe to the channel as well. And don't forget that we are going to do a rehash of this podcast on blogtalkradio.com, and that is going to be Cinema City Pictures. So you go to https://fb.blogtalkradio.com/Cinema City Pictures to get all of your latest commentary. I'm your gracious host, Lawyer Henderson. Thanks for listening in. Talk to you. Goodbye.